video that I'm not a gangster? Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't. I just hung out.
No, you look pretty gangsterous to me. You know we live, right?
Are we live?
Told you twice.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome. Are we live on those two?
Everybody.
What's that one we're live on? Rumble? I got to find out how to get on Rumble. How are we doing on Rumble?
I'm still working it out.
All right, okay. All right, and then this one's Instagram?
Wow. Instagram works really well.
Okay. So, Elohim Tov?
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov?
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time, man. If you ever been in trouble and you thought it was it in the last moment and then God came through, you could say that with confidence. I say that because I've had some moments, right? And you come out, you're like, it's all good. God is good all the time. He's thinking about you even when you're not thinking about him. That's why he's good all the time. We have Minister Ryan, the minister of the SALT group, the men, iron sharpens iron. Very important thing to be involved in because it gives you daily prayer and a daily fellowship with the brothers, so that you can continue growing and stay focused on Jesus Christ. So Ryan, pray us in, pray over the message, and we are going to get started.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Adonai, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for this house, this group of believers who are being set apart from this world. Oh Lord, we ask God that your anointing would fall fresh upon this house this evening, that you would guide this message, Lord, that it would go forth, that it would open the hearts, the minds, and the ears of those who are not looking, not watching, not ready, Lord. Father God, we pray for the Holy Spirit of conviction. Help us to repent of sin. Help us to give our lives fully to you, but Lord, tonight I ask that our hearts would just be drawn so close to you that we would desire nothing more than to be with you. May this message produce that fruit in us. Anoint Pastor Sammy tonight. Speak through him. Bless your people. We ask that you would protect those who are suffering. Provide for those who are in need tonight. Yeah. Lord, we love them. We're reaching out to them right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah.
I love that. People learning so much Hebrew, they're starting to come up with new names for God. Yahuwah. Yahoo. And you're like, dude, just stick to Jesus. It works. Don't try to be so Jewish. Even they don't say the name, so why are you trying to make up one? All right, here we go. I want to make sure that I thank Karen Bland. My wife has not seen any of this, but this was Mother's Day gifts for her, and Karen Bland sent this. Karen Bland is just, she's a shopper. You know, send her to Shopaholics. And she sent a beautiful card. And I just want to thank you for thinking of my wife to make her Mother's Day even better.
And Nicole says thank you too, Karen.
Yes. And so here we go. I have only one letter, which it's beautiful tonight. It's from Greg and Karen. It looked like Theron. Yep, it's Theron. And they are from St. Charles, Missouri. And she sent in her homework. Is that her homework, Pastor Ben? That's some good Hebrew letters. Mm-hmm. People are taking a Hebrew class online. You can learn a lot about the Bible by taking that 17 Bible studies or Bible courses. It doesn't take long. And she sent me a letter. First, thank you for the service to Jesus Christ. We enjoy your YouTubes and are encouraged that you are bold in your presentation of the Bible and how it is relevant to us today. We have never been led by someone who shared Hebrew knowledge and amazed how the interpretation is essential to the application of our lives. I'm gonna read the rest of this, but what you just wrote, I don't know if Karen wrote it or Greg wrote it, but man, let me know. It looks like, no, that both names on it, but one thing for sure, we're going to get some really beautiful Hebrew understanding tonight. Yeah. And we're going to get some Greek understanding. You know, since the New Testament is in Greek, I think it would be kind of robbery of me for not to study some Greek, seeing that the whole New Testament is in Greek. You know, I ain't trying to speak the language, but I should know the rules of interpretation, the rules of the language, what a verb is, you know, what's present, what's past tense. I should know those type of things when I'm studying. So I don't just go in and study the word. When I'm studying, well, I study in Hebrew in both sides, right? Rather it's New Testament or Old Testament. I'm gonna read the Hebrew, then I'm gonna try and find the English interpretation that's closest to that Hebrew. And then people say, what English Bible do you use? Whichever one's the closest to truth, right? Because some of them are like wacky way out, and then, you know, some of them are closer, and then you gotta find an English interpretation that kind of matches what the original language actually says, right? So that becomes the hard work of studying, tell you the truth. Because if you just say, oh, I'll just take them for what it says, you'll find out you missed it, okay? Now we're gonna look at that right now for a second here. Hello to all of our YouTube family all across the world. I want to welcome some of the new members tomorrow morning, Pastor Ben. If you, I'll try and bring a list, but you've been sending me a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to switch subjects on you twice. I mean, twice tonight. Maybe it'll even feel like three times. Okay, I'm going to try to go slow because I want you to have the understanding of what I'm teaching you. Okay. Because it's absolutely true, it's absolutely right in front of us, so it's very important that you see it, and it's very important that you understand it, okay? So, the first thing is kind of a Bible study for us so that I can show you something. Are you on that page one right there? I hope everybody who's out there has got the Bible study. Go to page one, because this is important. Okay. How do you accept Jesus Christ? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's what the scripture says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see that? So now I go up front, I confess Jesus, I say I believe in Jesus. Then I say I believe he died on the cross. I'm confessing my sins. I'm asking him to come into my life. I'm doing all my confession, right? So I confess, and then he says, do you believe that God raised him from the dead? Yes, I believe that he resurrected. So now, I've been born again, right? Now, if I don't understand that what I just went through was a wedding and not a marriage, I've missed the whole point. You understand? Because all that was standing in front of the altar and saying, I do, okay? Congratulations, you had a wedding. Now, you have to pull somebody aside. Now, listen to the Greek on confessing in this. There is a aorist, the aorist, which means the tense of the word, right? Listen to what it says. The aorist is active, subjunctive verb, okay? The form appears 512 times in the New Testament. That means that a word that is being used, that we just use for if you confess, is actually a continuous verb that has to be continuous cycled for the rest of your time, the rest of your life. Okay? Now watch out. Watch what it says here. The aoros tense characterized by its emphasis on punctualer, and they tried to correct me that because that's a Greek word, and it says action, that is the concept of the verb is considered without regard to past, present, or future. It is an active verb, which means that it doesn't matter that you confessed last week. If you're not doing it this week, it doesn't count. You understand? So it's when you're saying if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you're agreeing that your confession and your agreement with God that he died for your sins, and you believe in him, and he's number one in your life, all of these things that you confessed, okay? This is supposed to be a continuous action throughout the rest of your life. If you stop the action, you stop the progress of the relationship. And that's what people don't understand. We think if we stop the action of believing and we stop the action of confessing, then that means that, well, I already did it, so it's still good for today, tomorrow. But the aorist of the Greek says no. It says you must consider without regard, it is without regard for past, present, or future, it is a verb. The most common of these include a view of the action as having begun from a certain point, becoming now an active verb in your life, okay? So believing, so someone asked us last time during the question and answer, if somebody says that they, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. So if someone already says they believe, shouldn't they have eternal life? If you think of it in an English term, yes, because I believe, and then it should be done. But in the aoros, in the Greek, that belief don't mean just one day. It means you're agreeing to an eternal, active lifestyle. And so the aoros says now you must be in continuous verb and continuous motion of what you just confessed, and what you now believe must now become a part of your lifestyle. Because if you go back on it, then you're out of the lifestyle, and therefore you're not a part of what God said. Because remember, the people that didn't make it when they came out of Egypt, the people that didn't make it were everybody except two, right?
Right.
And it says they were not able to move in because of their unbelief, okay? Not that they didn't believe in God because they walked through the Red Sea. You know what I mean? What they didn't do is they didn't continue their belief and their faithfulness to God, okay?
Yeah.
So the word confess, homologia, which I don't, you know, I tell you I don't speak Greek. It says to say the same thing as another, to agree. So your confession is that I agree with you, Father. I'm a sinner. I need repentance. I need forgiveness. And I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, did that for me. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life living in relationship into that. Okay? I'm not going to turn my back on that and then say, I did that last month, and so it should work. I should be able to, right? It's like, I said I do last week. Well, what are you doing in the club? Let's go home. I already did that. No, now it's time to continue the relationship. The word believe is a verb, a continuous verb, okay? Pistos, it says, to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit or place confidence in, right? Let's go to the next page, which is right behind there on page two. Now watch this. This is gonna trip you out. And this is why I say you have to study. Now watch this. In the same chapter, verse 10, it says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So what if something's going on and something's about to happen in my life and I feel like my life is between death and I just got to go, Jesus. And now I called on the name of the Lord and I'm going to be saved, right? If that was possible, right? It would be a wonderful thing for us because it would be what's the guy, I'm looking for a loophole. It would be a great loophole, right? But let's look at what the word called in the Greek means, okay? It's epkaleo, and this is what it means, to call on the name of the Lord, to put upon the surname, to take someone's surname, to permit oneself to be surnamed. So when I married my wife, she became Andrea Armstrong. She took upon my surname, right? Now, the scripture says, if you believe in God, he says, do not take my name in vain, meaning don't call upon my name and take my surname and start saying you're my people and you're a Christian if you're going to do it in vain. You have to live it out because now you're taking my name in vain because you married me. You have my surname, but you don't live as a married person. So therefore, it's no good. It's nullified. You understand? So the thing that God is saying is, this scripture in English just says, call upon the name and you'll be saved. And then it doesn't even mean that. It means to take on the surname of someone else. So I'm taking on the name of Jesus Christ. I'm taking on the name of Christian, which means that now I have to not take that in vain. Because everybody knows, hey, Pastor Sandy's a Christian now, right? So now if I'm doing stuff and they're looking at me, I was like, oh, I thought you were married. Oh, I am. Well, it doesn't look like it. It looks like you're taking the name in vain. You understand? So understand, that really shocked me that to call upon the Lord had nothing to do with going, hey, Jesus. It had nothing to do with it. It had to do with taking the surname of another person and saying we are now in a relationship through marriage and through combining the names. Okay? So that is different from what we read in English. And this is why I study in Hebrew. And then, of course, you got the word believe, pistos. It means all of the words. It means assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. Okay? Fidelity is that you're loyal, right? The Hebrew is emun, which means fidelity and faithfulness and trusting, okay? So to have faith is not just, I believe it even though I don't see it. That's not only faith. For God, faith is emun, which means that you are faithful and loyal to the person that you've confessed and believed in, okay? So now you become faithful and loyal. You make your decisions based upon the fact that I'm married. Okay? I make all my decisions on the fact that I'm married. You understand? Hey, big fella, you want to go up to my room? No, I'm married, right? I'm making my decisions based on the fact that I am in faith with my wife. And I'm in faith means fidelity and faithfulness to my wife. You understand? I'm making my decisions based on the commitment that I've made. And if you're not making decisions based on the commitment you've made, then people can question that whether you're really in relationship with God or not. Okay? This is why the scripture says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith or not. Takes a little time, y'all, to look back and say, the decisions that I could have made for God, did I make them for God or did I make them for myself? Because you've got to make decisions all the time about your walk in Christ, okay? Amen. So, I'm glad that was short because we got to move on. Okay. Now, we get to the book of Psalms. And in Psalms 120, we get to a chapter, and I have to tell you guys that I've been teaching about the fact that Psalms gives you what's going to happen in that year before that year comes, okay? It did it every psalm except for 17, 18, and 19. It was like God took a three-day rest, okay? 17 was the dividing of the whole Bible, then 18, then 19. But then in the 120th Psalm, it got back to prophesying what's going to happen this year. And what was prophesied for Psalms 120? You guys know?
Deliver us from these lies.
Deliver us from lies, right? So if we were, it was 2019, we should have read Psalms 121st to see what's going to happen. Okay? We may have not known about the pandemic, but we would have said a lie is coming. A lie upon the whole world is coming. Why? Because Psalms 120 says, deliver us from lies.
Amen.
It was telling us before the year got there what was going to happen. Okay? Considering the fact that Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So therefore, in the days of Noah, a worldwide judgment happened upon the whole world in the 120th year. So now we were in 2020, which according to Psalms, because Psalms is counting every year, when you got to the 120 or 2020, you got to the 120th Psalm. So we were dealing with the lies. Psalms 21 is now prophesying to us what's going to happen in Psalms 121. And Psalms 22 is prophesying to me what's going to happen in Psalms 22, or in Psalms 122, or in 2022. Both have been already given to us by God, so we can expect what's going to happen, okay? Now, you have 150 Psalms. You get 119 Psalms, and they all have different things, the psalm of this, psalm of that, the psalm. Then, but you get to the 120th psalm, you don't get to a psalm of ascending up until you get to Psalms 120. So all the other psalms have different names, okay? But when you get to Psalms 120, now it's the psalm of ascending up, okay? Mi Allah in the Hebrew. So it waited till Psalms 120 to present a picture of going up. There are 15 psalms of ascent, which is the letter of Eve, which is Semek, meaning the support or the helpmate, right? Is 15, meaning that now it's the 15th letter, which means it's the 100, it has a numerical value, Semek, of 120. So the first psalm that you get from Psalms 1, 2, 3, 4, 60, you don't get a psalm of ascending up until you get to Psalms 120. And then it tells you, this is what's going to happen in the 2020. You're going to be lied to. Okay, and it's going to be worldwide because it's the 120th year and the judgment has to be worldwide. Okay, so now there are 15 psalms, and I want you guys to understand this. I'm trying to make sure you got your paper with you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to teach you a little bit of Hebrew. Okay. If you look at the board, I don't want to make Pastor Ben. No. I just want them to look at the board. You have the paper.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the board, you see where it says Shir Le Ma'alot. That means the Psalms of Ascent. Okay, of the ascent. Okay, so these are the Psalms of ascending up. There's going to be 15 of them. Why? Because there are 15 steps to get up to the priest, to the Holy of Holies, so you can be in the presence of God, okay? So there's 15 Psalms of Ascent. Now, so from Psalms 120 to Psalms 134, they're all Psalms of Ascent. They all say 15, there are 15 of them that say the Psalm of the Ascent. This is what this says, right? Shir ha me'alot, okay? The Psalm of the, ha is the, okay? Me'alot, okay? So there are 14 that say the Psalm of the Ascending Up. Only in one, and that's in Psalms 121, says the Psalm of the Psalm to go up. You understand? So this one is different from all of the other Psalms of Ascending Up because it doesn't say the Psalm of the Ascent. It says the Psalm to ascend. Okay? And it's only in one chapter of the Psalms of Ascent, even though there's 15, only in 2021 does it say to go up. Okay, how many verses are in the Psalm of Ascent or Psalm to Ascend in 121? How many verses do we have?
Eight.
What is eight? The number of Jesus, the number of new beginning. Okay, so God is showing me in all of the Psalms, Psalms 121 is different from all of those because it represents 2021. It's not the Psalm of the Ascent. This is the only one that says the Psalm to Ascend. And it just happens to be 7 years before the end of the generation of the 80, okay? So 120 years, that Psalms 120 or 2021 and being the 73rd year of Israel is playing itself out in many different ways, okay? I want to have a little fun here. Let me see. In Psalms 121, there's eight verses. Five times in the Psalms, it has the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay, which is Yahweh, okay? I don't even mind if people say Yahweh because some languages, the Vav is a W. Like, you know, there's a basketball player named Mo Wagner, but it's spelled W. It's spelled with a W, but he's from Germany. So his last name is Wagner, but when you say his name, it's not Wagner, but it's spelled that. But when you say it in his language, the W is a V, okay? So the V is like, I was gonna say Zsa Zsa Gabor, she used to be like that, darling, violing. So in this, understanding this, that the Vav is a W, but you have five times in this eight verses that it uses the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, okay? Now, this is my fun. When I go to the store, I find $331, right? I'm like, okay, Lord. He says, you got to find out exactly how much you have. I don't want you to lose the account of exactly how much was in the pocket. $331, okay? So I said, well, let me look up gematria, see what 331 means. 331 was the word the menorah in Hebrew, right? The seven candlestick menorah, which stands for what? The church, okay? So I look it up, but it only has that numerical value in one verse in chapter Chronicles 28, verse 15, and you have the menorah, 331, five times, okay? And the five stands for grace. So this is what the Lord was telling me. The grace My grace is upon the church. Okay? But now he says, now why 5 times 331? So I look it up, 1655, and it says, proceeding to come. And I said, whoa, okay. So all of this is like God saying, I told you, I'm leading you. Let me guide you. Let me tell you what to tell the people, because I'm leading you, okay? God is trying to prepare us to leave. He's trying to prepare us to know that your hope and your future is not in earth, okay? He's trying to prepare you to leave. He wants you to know there's some young bodies in heaven that used to be old. I'm giving you a new resurrected body. Your house that the plumbing is going out, that's not a problem here. You get a new house. You understand? So you have to understand, Jesus says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and paralambano, take you as a friend or a companion to be with me where I am. You understand? Amen. So this is a promise from God who says it is impossible for God to lie, okay? Now, I don't know if it affects you the way it affected me, but when I found out that there are 15 Psalms of Ascent and they all say this is the Psalm of the Ascent, this is the Psalm of the Ascent, not even in Psalm 120 does it say the Psalm to Ascend. Only in one, and that's Psalm 121, standing for 2021. Okay? Now, I want us to go to the next page, which is now Psalms 122. And how does Psalms 122 begin? I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So that means like the temple is going to be built. In 2022, after the church is gone, the temple is going to be built. But who's going to build the temple? Is it going to be God's temple? No, I'm going to show you in Hebrew that God makes sure you know it's not his. Okay? In the Hebrew, God is saying, that's your temple. Good luck. In the Hebrew, you understand? He's saying, good luck in your temple and good luck in your little citadels. That's the deal you made. Go, enjoy. I'm going to still watch over you, but he's letting them know that's not my temple. Okay? So, I'm going to read it. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within the gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city, and it says compact together, horrible Hebrew. It says, it uses a word, havar biyachad. Havar means like friends. So they're saying the city of the Jerusalem have come together as a group of friends. They finally united as a group of people who love each other and are bound together, okay? Compact means people are packed up into each other. That's not what that means. It uses the word havar, like havarim, my friends. Havar means havar biyachad. They are a group of friends now that have come together for a purpose. Israel is finally uniting, okay? And so, in this uniting, it says, we the tribes go up. It says, where the tribes go up. Where? To Jerusalem. The tribes of the Lord. To the testimony of Israel. To give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for what? Judgment. Listen, this is what God is saying. Thrones are set there, but they're not set there for good. They're set there for your judgment. Okay? Because what they're about to do is something God knew what happened, and it's written all throughout the Old Testament that the Jews would choose a Messiah for themselves, and they would believe the Antichrist, and the Antichrist would build them a temple, and that they would have a false peace. And this is what's going on in Psalms 22. We'll get to the Hebrew so you can see it clearly. It says, for thrones are set there for mishpat, for judgment. The throne of the house of David. Now listen, watch this. I don't want to make you move again, Pastor Bear. Now watch this. I'm going to show you guys something. Watch. Okay. In the Hebrew, this is how you spell David. Okay. What can I erase up here? Now write it right here. Okay. This is how you spell David. D, Vav, delete, Vav, delete. Okay. So it's like the door, salvation, the door. That's David. That's the name David, okay? Now, when he spells it in here, David, he says the house of David, the temple of David, God says, I'm gonna put your hand in there, Yod is hand, then I'm gonna put another delete. Only time in scripture that it's spelled like this. It means that someone else's hand is in this. Someone else's hand is in the middle of a structure that's not supposed to be here. Whose hand is there?
God. Oh, see?
The hand that's in the middle is the nation of Israel. Is the Antichrist. He usually spells the David-like delete, Vav, delete. But out of all the times in the Bible, he puts Yod, which means hand. He puts it right in the middle. And he's telling them, you're putting your hand in the middle of a work, and this is not my temple. This is your temple. You enjoy your temple. You enjoy your city. Okay? Here, let me read it here. Let's go back. I'm going to read it. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So it says here, I wanted to read it. Yeah, okay. So in verse 5, it says, for the thrones are set for judgment. So he said, there's seats there that are being set for your judgment. The thrones of the house of David, which is the temple that you're building, okay? Then he says in verse 6, what does your Bible say? Now, I'm reading this in Hebrew. I don't even know it says pray, because it doesn't use the word pray. Pray is Talitha, to pray, you pray, is palal, which is to pray. So pray or prayer in Hebrew is not the word that they use here. So I'm like, well, what word are they using? What is, so because I, when I read it, it said demand for the peace of Israel. But it means like this, to ask, request for the peace of Israel, okay? It doesn't say to pray. It says, it uses a Hebrew word, says demand for peace, demand peace. Now, the way it's spelled, it's absolutely crazy.
Go back over there?
Yeah, watch this. Watch how it's spelled. See this? Now watch this. I'm gonna spell Saul for you in Hebrew. This is Saul. With the Lamed.
What is that again?
This right here spells Saul. This right here spells, it's the same numerical value, the same letters, but here it says, it uses, this word is Shoelu, which means they demanded peace. Did they pray for Saul to be their king? Did the Jews pray for Saul to be their king? What did they do? They demanded a king. This is what God is saying they're doing in 2022. They're demanding peace. They're asking for peace. Who are they demanding and asking peace from? The Antichrist. So God plays on words and says, I'm going to give it here. I'm going to use the word demand peace for Israel in a temple that doesn't belong to the true David. Demand peace for Israel. So now they demand peace, and because they demand peace, he gives them a peace accord. He gives them a temple, okay? Because I said, let me read this thing in Hebrew first. Okay. In 6. Shoelu shalom ya Yisrael. Vishlochu ha'avarech. Okay? It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love you shall prosper. Those who love you shall prosper. Now, he's saying this, look. Those who love you are going to prosper off of what you're allowing to happen. Okay? God is not building this temple. You're building this temple. You requested peace, or you demanded peace. You asked for it. If you would have asked for Jesus, he would have came and rescued you. But you asked for peace. So the Antichrist gave you peace. Okay? So this becomes the story of Saul. Once again, because what does Saul mean? We're going to choose our own king. That's what Israel is going to do. We're going to choose our own king, and our own king is going to build a temple for us. Then it says here, I want to make sure my brothers and sisters are companions. Okay, because of the house of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it says to do something with your temple and your, okay, now. So he says, for my brother's companion's sake, I will now say, peace be unto Israel. Because of the house of the Lord, no. He says, Lema'an, bait Yahweh, Eloheinu, and then it says, oh, I got to find this scripture that says this is your temple. He's telling them, enjoy your temple. Is this it here? Peace be within. Yeah, here it is. Verse 7. It says, Yehi shalom beheklak shalva bera menotecha. So he's saying, be peace in your walls. Okay, this is very sarcastic. May there be peace in your walls. May you have prosperity in your palace. This is what God is telling them. You understand? Because he knows it's not his. So he said, okay, so you have peace in your walls. And you have prosperity in your palace. Because God is letting them know, this temple that you built does not belong to delete, vav, delete. It belongs to delete, vav, yad, delete, which means your hand is in it. Okay? So this is what's coming to the nation of Israel. Okay. So in 2022, they're going to get their temple. But now, what does that tell us? That means that the song to go up in Psalms 121 means they can't get a temple and a peace deal until the church is gone. So Psalms 121 is playing stronger into the Hebrew, saying that this is not the ascent, this is to ascend. But I'm only going to put in one psalm, and it's the psalm that stands for 2021. Okay? Now, We got to go to Acts. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
10 minutes.
Ooh, that's good. Let's go to the book of Acts. Okay.
What page is that?
This is on page 5. We are in page 5, and that's what the whole thing with Saul back there. But we're going to be in the book of Acts, and we are going to be in, oh, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. Okay. Now, do you know what tribe Saul was from, who they picked to be their king in the old time? He was from the tribe of Benjamin. You know what tribe Paul is from, who used to be Saul, but now he's Paul? Tribe of Benjamin. So God is letting you know, here's a New Testament story that's really telling you the same as the Old Testament story, but in a different way. Because it is Saul that's going to reject God. Watch this. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed. He came near Damascus. Suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Lama taradofati? Why are you persecuting me?" Now, Saul is on his way to Damascus. Okay, he's on the road called Damascus on his way to the city. What's the numerical value for Damascus? 444 is the road to Damascus. It's the numerical value of 444. Who's the 444? Jesus. He's the fourth letter of the Hebrew. He's the Dalet. He's the door. The door is 4. So Saul is on his way, and he's going to meet the door to love, to heaven, on his way. So he's knocked off the horse, okay? And then it says, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Okay? And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goad." So he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. So on the third, he got his sight back. But God blinded him. What has happened to Israel since Jesus left? 1,000, 2,000. We're on the third day because we're past 2,000. We got past 2000, 2017. So we're past 2000. So we're on the third day. So now they're going to get their sight back. You understand? Saul is just another story of what's going on in Israel. In the third day, Saul gets his sight back. But remember, because of his unbelief and because of his wickedness, God not only knocked him off, but he blinded him. Because now you can't see or understand, and you're only going to have seeing and understanding on the third day. And that's when he's coming back. So Saul and the other Saul, just showing two different roles of the same Israel of what we're seeing right now. Okay? So God puts, they demanded peace for Israel. They asked. They didn't pray. I don't know if the King James person put pray here just to make me go study, but I thought it was perfect that they put prayer there, pray there, because now I know that they did not pray. They did not get on their knees and say, Father God, in Jesus' name, could you please bring peace to Israel? We believe in the Messiah now. They did not do that. And they did not say, Father God, in Jesus' name, we would like a king. Would you please help us to find a king? They did not do that. They did the word that is the same numerical value as Saul. They demanded a king. And so in here, in Psalms 122, it tells you they demanded peace for Israel. And God said, okay, go. Have peace inside your temple. Have prosperity in your walls. He says, mecha, meaning it's yours. It's not his. He doesn't say, peace be inside my temple. My presence is in my temple. No, he says, no, this is your temple. So Psalms 121 and Psalms 122 is telling us the scenario of the story is about to culminate in what? To Allah, me Allah. You are about to, not the song of the ascent, song to ascend. Now, after the song to ascend, Israel will come and say what? I was happy when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And God is like, wait a minute. Jesus said, when I return to the earth, I'm going to build the temple. What do you mean? You are happy to say, let's go to the house of the temple, the house of the Lord. If Jesus hadn't came back, how you have a house of the Lord? You shouldn't have a temple in Israel until Jesus comes back. Because Jesus' promise was, I'm going to come back and build the ruins of David's temple. I'm going to come back and do it. But here in 2022, they're going to build the temple. So we're seeing the scenario of it. Now, what's going on in the world that should make you understand where we're at in this scenario, other than the absolute in-your-face example that God gives us in Psalms 21 and Psalms 22. We are in the middle of a controlled genocide. We're in the middle of a controlled attempt to kill as many human beings as possible. We're in the middle of it. Almost crying, the lady said, I don't know how me coming to the hospital and wanting to do the right thing end up with me unable to walk. I can't even walk to the bathroom anymore because now I'm paralyzed. And her husband is sitting next to her. And they put it on the TV, on the local news in the city that it happened. But she wants to know, how is it that I come in to do the right thing and I'm paralyzed now and I can't even walk to the bathroom? So we're in the middle of a controlled genocide of Nephilim who are saying, we've got to get rid of as many people as we want. They're doing what they have been promising to do for a long time, and that's depopulate the earth. And now that it's happening right in front of us, and we're in Israel's 73rd birthday, and Israel's president says today, we are happy to say that the Palestinians has done something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. You have united us. The scripture said that Israel is now friends finally who have come together. They have finally united. Okay? So in this year is exactly what's promised, what he just spoke today. They're coming together. They're going to be one. They're going to have one understanding that we have to fight for Israel. Okay? We're seeing the scenario. When the floodwaters begin, does not mean that the flood is over because you want to get back to normal.
Right.
You experienced a flood beginning. It's worldwide. And you can sit and you can say to yourself, and I'm trying to get you to understand, you can say to yourself as much as you want, it's all going to get back to normal. But I'm trying to tell you, You're in the middle of a flood, okay? Do not put your hope in this world, okay? The Bible says it will wax worse and worse until Jesus returns, okay? So you have to be ready for the ultimate gift of God, which is eternal life, a new home, a new body in the presence of God. It doesn't exist to you because you're in the flesh and you can't see it and you don't understand it. But you've got to have the faith to understand that a God that has prophesied to you everything in prophecy from day one, from the rebirth of Israel to everything that is going on in the world, is not writing the book of Revelation just so he can have something to say. He's trying to tell you, prepare yourself. I already wrote this story and I've already have a place prepared for you. Put your hope and your faith in the one who died on the cross for you. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah.